It's just the way we are. You know, but I never dreamed that at 42, Ed would be down with stage 4 lymph node terminal cancer. He got to feeling a little weak one day, and so they went in and had him checked. And when they did, what do we always do when we get to feeling a little bad? What do? We go to a doctor. Instead of going to God and say, God, what did I do that you don't like? So anyway, he goes to a doctor. The doctor checks him, and the first thing you know, it leads to exploratory surgery. And before the day's over, they got him in there, cut him open, and looked inside of him. And the diagnosis is, Ed, we're sorry, you've got stage 4 lymph node terminal cancer in every organ of your body. There is no hope. In a few weeks, you'll be gone. There's nothing we can do to save you. Well, God laid this on my heart clearly. This is what we needed to do for Ed. In fact, he spoke to me audibly. He told me, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him and I'll heal him. I heard that audible. That's something, isn't it? Well, see, that's the first time I'd ever heard it too. And you talk about a dummy. I'm leaving the hospital. I'm walking down the corridor and I said, God, I know you said tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him. He'd heal him. But I said, Lord, you must not have understood what he said. Or she said. She said he has terminal cancer and he's going to die in a few weeks. Now, how much faith do I have? Would you say, hey, that's pretty well bordering on zero?
That's right.
It's right on the border of zero. Now then, and that was in 86, you know, so, I mean, I haven't been like this forever. I've only been like this a few years, and it's taken a lot of time for this to get there, and obviously God had a plan for me to get here, you know, so, but anyway, I went over Sunday. After that was Wednesday night, I went over Sunday, and I told Ed what God had spoken to me. I took this scripture to him, James 5:14, and his words were, Thurman, I've been in church all my life. I'm 42 years old, got saved in a church at a young age. I go every Sunday. I ain't never heard that verse preached on. I ain't never heard it taught on. I ain't never seen it done. So if it was real and it worked, obviously somebody would have told us. That does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But we don't. Is it written in the Word?
Yes.
Is it a promise from God?
Yes.
Did it work on this lovely lady right here?
Yes.
If he gave her a new heart, then what will it do for somebody else? Sure, it'll work on anybody that believes it. And so it's so amazing, you know. But he wouldn't believe. He wouldn't believe. He said, Thurman, I just don't believe that'll work. Now, God said we got to do this in faith, right? We can't come to say, oh, God, if it be your will this time. If it be your will. You know, that don't never get it. God don't answer those kind of prayers. He answers a prayer of faith. So anyway, I went to him two or three times over the next 2 weeks. And I finally told him, I said, Ed, he's back in and out of the hospital. And he's dying. I told him, I said, Ed, why don't you start reading that scripture out loud? Because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing what? The Word of God. That's exactly right. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so in Romans 10:17, if it says faith comes by reading the Word, no. It says faith comes by hearing the Word. So I said, Ed, go home and read it out loud. And read those scriptures out loud until you believe God. I said, when you do, then you call me. We'll come pray over you and anoint you with oil, and God will heal you. I guarantee it. My faith's going all the time. And so anyway, Monday night of the third week, he called me and he said, Thurman, I have been reading that verse and I do believe. And so he said, I want you to get some men. Said, I'm too weak. Said, I'll have Ruthie drive me to the church, Lakeland Baptist Church in Louisville, Texas, to the chapel. Said, I'll have her drive me up there and we'll be there in an hour. It was 6 o'clock then. He said, 7 o'clock. You call some of the other deacons or whatever and have them meet us there and we'll show up at 7 and y'all can pray over me and anoint me with oil. So I picked up the phone, called 6 or 8 men right quick, and I told them, I said, read James 5:14, 15, and 16, and come to the chapel, be there at 7 o'clock, and if you want to know another man you think you can come, call him. But let's show up and let's pray over him and believe God's going to heal him. Now, we ain't never seen this in Lakeland Baptist Church in our life. Never has this happened before. So when we got there at 7 o'clock, 28 men showed up to pray for Ed Brock. I'm telling you, you couldn't get 28 Southern Baptist deacons and Sunday school teachers together in an hour to pray for a sick man. If God wasn't in it, your life couldn't. I mean, you have to. God's got to be orchestrating this thing. I mean, on a normal day in a Southern Baptist church, if I were to call at 6 o'clock and probably call 50 men, and the church had 2,500 people in it, and I'm going to get some there I could probably call for 2 days in advance and couldn't get 3 men to show up on Monday night. But 28 men showed up in an hour. And when I got there that morning, I had stopped by the grocery store and bought me a little bottle of olive oil, you know, and I had the little sack twisted around it, you know, and I had it in a bag. I walked into the church and they had come in. He says, "What do you got in your hand?" I said, "A bottle of oil." He said, "Have you ever done this before?" I said, "No." He said, "What kind of oil is it?" I said, "Olive oil." He said, "Where'd you get it?" I said, "At the grocery store." Oh, he said, "And I got stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer. And this got a man with no experience with a bottle of olive oil in the grocery store. They think I'm going to get healed." Well, folks, who is the healer? It's the Lord. It ain't that stupid olive oil. It ain't you and me. It's the Lord. He's the healer. And when we... I'm telling you, hey, because we had, just say when the Lord said, "If you have faith as tiny as a mustard seed," that's just about how much we had, just a tiny little bit. But did God honor that faith? Yes, he did. That man got completely well. Now, it didn't happen overnight. It took 6 months. He got completely well, and that's back in 86. And Ed has never had a reoccurrence of that cancer. Never to this day. And then he asked me a question. Now see, God was doing all this. God's behind everything. He asked me a question. "Thurman, why do you think this wasting disease came upon me?" I said, "I have no idea." You know, I mean, I didn't know what caused sickness. I mean, I knew the man come to church every Sunday. I knew him and his wife eat, you know, good food. They were health food people. You know, so if food had anything to do with how healthy you are, I mean, they ought to live to be 100, right? Yeah. And so, but here he is dying at 42 with stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer. So I didn't have a clue at that time that sickness and sin are directly related. I had no knowledge of this secret in God's Word. I said, "But Ed, I know who does know." He says, "Who?" I said, "The Lord." I said, "If you will begin to petition him." Now see, I'd heard God's voice 4 times now in my life up at that point. And I know he talks because I've heard him talk. So I said, "I believe the Lord will show you if you'll get in the Word and if you'll begin to ask him and pursue him, Lord, why did this wasting disease come upon me?" So he went home and prayed and then he opened his Bible and he said, "Lord, I believe you'll show me what caused my sickness." And so he set his Bible down on the back cover like this, and it opened, and when it did, it fell open to Psalms 106. Now, let's go to Psalm 106 and start with about verse 10, and let's see what that says. Psalms 106, verse... This is a story about how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. That's when he brought them through the Red Sea. "Then the waters returned and covered their enemies. Not one of them survived." You have all read the story about how God brought them through the sea, right? Okay. Now let's go on to the next couple of verses there, 12 and 13. "Then at last his people believed his promises. Then they finally sang his praise." Now, why does he do all these miracles and things? What does he want us to do? Praise him. Is he worthy to be praised? Absolutely he's worthy to be praised. There ain't nothing else worthy to be praised on this earth. And most Christians today are ashamed to praise him. I mean, Christmas time. We take Christmas out of everything. It's happy holidays now. Don't you come into the office bringing in your stuff and say, "Praise the Lord, this is all about Jesus." Wow. Let me tell you what. This is about Jesus. This is not about Santa Claus. There is no such thing as a stupid Santa Claus. The gifts and everything we give is to worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, he may not have been born on Christmas, and I don't think he was. But that is happens to be the day that we celebrate. And if we're going to celebrate, this is about Jesus. Now we'll have to say we need more men like these 2 Vietnam vets the other day down in Florida. I was on a 45-minute radio show with a guy in Florida the other day. And after the show, actually when he called me and asked me to do this, he said, "I got to tell you a story about these 2 men." Said, there's a little church down here, a little town, 2,500 people. He said, there is a a Christian church that has a flag out all the time, and these guys drove by going to work, these two Vietnam vets, and they see this flag out there, and they praise God for the Christian flag. He said one day they come by and it ain't there. Well, somebody forgot to put it up. But a week or so later, it still ain't never been back up. So they stop and ask the pastor of the church, what happened to the Christian flag? He said, oh, the ACLU filed a lawsuit on us and told us if we didn't take it down, they were going to file and take us to court. So we just stuck the flag down. They said, let us have the flag. They said, what are you going to do? They said, we just want it. So they took the flag and went back out and put it up on the flagpole and put a great big sign out. Anybody that comes by and takes this flag down, you're going to take it down. We're ex-Vietnam vets. We know how to use a gun. If you take this flag down, you're going to do it over our dead bodies. Amen. I thought, wow, we got some rednecks here. There's some rednecks in church, obviously, that really think highly of their Lord, and they're willing to die for Him. They ain't some wimp like the rest of us. So anyway, he said, we're going to have a big meeting, and if you want to come and show us you want to join with us next Saturday, we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to invite everybody in the area to come here. Of course, the little town's only 2,500 people. To let the ACLU know, they ain't taking our Christian flags down in this town. We're standing against them. And so he told me that when I was on the radio show, or he was telling me about the radio show, and that next week when I called him and we did the radio show, after we did the radio show, he said, by the way, the story I told you about the two guys, I said, yeah. He said, I told you they were going to have a meeting here last Saturday? I said, yeah. He said, guess how many people showed up for the meeting? I said, well, I don't know. He said, our town has only got 2,550 total population. He said, 5,000 people showed up. You know, do we need to stand for the Lord a little more? Hey, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm in America. That's just like when I was over there at that school. I'm talking to them about Jesus. I want to know you're a Christian. You working at school, and I've got all these locks and everything. I want to know who believes. Boy, some people hold their hand. I said, what's wrong with you? Raise your head up and look at me. Are you a Christian? It's terrible to have to come to this point in life. But some of us in America are going to have to become real redneck Christians. Bold Christians.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Jesus' Healthcare Plan, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.